Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Doing Time Like a Spy, How the CIA Taught Me to Survive and Thrive in Prison by John Kiriakou, is a first-hand account of an intelligence officer turned whistleblower who must navigate the radically different world of federal incarceration. Publicly known as a former CIA counterterrorism officer, Kiriakou became a prominent figure after confirming the agency used waterboarding, and he later served time in prison following a case connected to classified information. The book frames prison not only as punishment, but as a high-stakes environment where observation, discipline, and interpersonal awareness matter every day. Kiriakou describes how skills associated with spycraft, such as reading people, controlling emotion, and planning under pressure, can be repurposed for survival behind bars. Along the way, he offers a grounded look at routines, rules, social dynamics, and the mental challenges that incarceration creates. The result is part memoir, part practical guide, and part critique of the justice and national security systems that shaped his path. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from CIA insider to inmate, the path that led to prison, a central topic is the personal and institutional chain of events that took Kiriakou from working inside U.S. intelligence to becoming a federal prisoner. Public reporting has long linked his story to post-9/11 counterterrorism, debates over interrogation methods, and the consequences that can follow when national security secrecy collides with public accountability. The book positions his experience as a cautionary narrative about how quickly status and identity can change when legal jeopardy enters the picture. It also highlights how the legal process itself becomes a kind of pressure campaign, where charging decisions, plea negotiations, and the threat of harsher penalties shape outcomes as much as courtroom verdicts do. Rather than focusing only on sensational details, the narrative emphasizes the psychological shift required to accept a new reality, including the loss of autonomy, reputation, and predictable routines. This transition sets up the rest of the book. Prison is not treated as an abstract concept, but as a destination reached through real choices, systems, and trade-offs. That context helps readers understand both the stakes and the mindset he brings into confinement. Secondly, using spy tradecraft as a survival toolkit, another major theme is the translation of intelligence habits into practical coping strategies. The book argues that the fundamentals of staying safe in hostile or uncertain environments are surprisingly consistent across arenas. Even if the setting changes from international operations to a prison compound, skills like situational awareness, pattern recognition, and disciplined information management become tools for daily stability. He stresses the value of watching before acting, learning informal rules, and avoiding impulsive decisions that can escalate conflict. Communication is treated as a strategic instrument, speaking less, choosing words carefully, and understanding what people want can reduce risk. He also frames emotional control as a core competency, because anger, fear, and humiliation are constantly provoked in confinement. Planning and routine play a similar role, helping a person conserve energy and prevent small problems from turning into crises. While the book is memoir-driven, the practical through line is clear. The same traits that support effectiveness in high-pressure work, preparation, patience, and calibrated trust can help someone endure prison with fewer mistakes and more psychological resilience. Thirdly, the social ecosystem of prison hierarchy, respect, and boundaries. Kiriakou devotes attention to prison as a social system with its own norms, status signals, and informal enforcement. Readers are guided through how respect is earned or lost, how alliances form, and why boundaries matter even in seemingly ordinary interactions. The book emphasizes that prison life is governed as much by unwritten rules as by official regulations, and misunderstanding those norms can create danger. He discusses the need to assess people quickly, recognize manipulation, and avoid being drawn into other inmates' disputes. At the same time, the narrative avoids portraying everyone as a caricature. It points to the reality that many incarcerated people are simply trying to get through their sentence, and that decency and mutual support can exist alongside predatory behavior. A recurring lesson is that consistency builds credibility. Paying debts, keeping your word, and not overpromising reduces vulnerability. He also explores how identity and background shape interactions, including the complications of being a well-known former intelligence figure in a closed environment. Overall, the book presents prison society as a constant negotiation of space, privacy, and perception, where small choices have outsized consequences. Fourthly, building routines that protect the mind and body. A key topic is the role of structure in maintaining mental health during incarceration. The book suggests that routine is not merely a way to pass time, but a strategy for preserving dignity and agency when most decisions are controlled by the institution. He describes how daily habits, exercise, reading, and purposeful tasks can reduce anxiety and prevent the mental drift that long stretches of confinement can produce. He also addresses the emotional challenges of isolation from family, the strain of constant surveillance, and the fatigue of living in an environment where trust is limited. Practical self-management shows up repeatedly setting goals, tracking progress, and using small milestones to make time feel survivable. The narrative also underscores how health, sleep, and nutrition become harder to manage, and therefore more important to prioritize where possible. Another element is the disciplined use of attention, learning when to tune out noise and provocation, and when to stay alert. The broader message is that thriving, even in constrained circumstances, comes from a series of controllable behaviors. By focusing on what can be controlled, mindset, habits, and responses, a person can protect self-respect and emerge with a stronger sense of capability. Lastly, a critique of secrecy, accountability, and the justice system. Beyond personal survival, the book also functions as commentary on how governments handle secrecy, whistleblowing, and punishment. Kyriakou's public profile is tied to debates over interrogation practices and the uneven consequences faced by individuals across the national security apparatus. The narrative invites readers to consider how systems decide who is protected, who is prosecuted, and how messages are sent through high-profile cases. He raises questions about proportionality, deterrence, and whether incarceration is being used to enforce institutional silence as much as to address specific harms. The prison experience becomes part of that critique, illustrating what punishment looks like in daily life and how it affects families and communities. He also points to the gap between the public's assumptions about federal prisons and the complex realities inside them, including bureaucratic arbitrariness and the limited opportunities for rehabilitation. Importantly, this theme is not only political. It is also about ethics and identity, what it means to act on conscience, how to live with consequences, and how to rebuild a life after a sentence. The book encourages reflection on accountability in both directions, for individuals and for institutions. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in intelligence and national security, criminal justice, whistleblowing, or memoirs of resilience under extreme constraint. It will also appeal to anyone who wants a pragmatic look at how people adapt when autonomy is stripped away and every interaction carries risk. The benefit is twofold. First, it offers a grounded understanding of prison realities, not as entertainment but as a human system with rules, incentives, and psychological pressures that shape behavior. Second, it translates high-pressure professional skills into broadly useful life tools, staying calm under provocation, reading environments accurately, setting routines, and making deliberate choices when options are limited. Those lessons can improve everyday life in workplaces, family conflicts, and stressful transitions, even for readers who will never see the inside of a prison. Compared with similar books, it stands out by combining a well-known public case with a practical survival framework, rather than focusing only on grievance or shock value. The perspective of a former CIA officer makes the analysis of awareness, trust, and discipline unusually concrete, making it a worthwhile purchase for readers seeking both story and usable insight. If you would like to support John Kyriakou, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.